You. Well, first of all, I want to thank Alicia for going first because I volunteered to and I was late. And so I called Stacy a little frantically and she said, sure, no problem. But the reason I'm bringing that up, I mean, I'll tell you more about who I am and whatever in a second. But the reason I'm bringing that up is because in the past, before program and before I learned about abstinence and asking for help and taking care of yourself and all those kind of things. And when my life was totally unmanageable, but I didn't think so. If this had happened, I needed like 10 more minutes, to finish. Are we allowed to use food words? What's the group conscience here? Is there one?
I don't think we have
Anybody?
one.
Oh, okay. Because it's pre-Thanksgiving. Anyway,
We already mentioned it. Go ahead.
I was finishing a pie. I mean, I was p baking a pie, and of course, it took 10 more minutes than I need had. But anyway, in the past, I would have somehow done something peculiar, either taken the pie out early or done something that didn't have to do with taking the, cooking it properly. And or hurting myself. I would have been like, I have to leave for 5 seconds. I'll be right back. Just been totally out to lunch about it. And I suddenly, and I asked God to help me figure this out because I was a little verklempt. And I got, finally I was like, oh, why don't you see if you can go next, second instead of first. That wouldn't have occurred to me before. It's like wrong to ask for help. It's wrong not to be perfect. It's wrong to show anybody that you need anything, etc. So thank God I have learned, even though I don't do it as often as I'd like, to ask for help and to realize that people are probably much more flexible than I am. So thank you again. Anyway, so as we know, my name is Jean. I started the program in 1990 in I lived in Massachusetts, but I went to New Hampshire, Nashua, New Hampshire, because it was the closest meeting. It's like 25 minutes from my house. And I had been going actually in Massachusetts first. Well, anyway, so I started in, I'm sorry, let me get myself together here. So I started in 1990. I had no interest in the steps, spirituality, getting to know anybody in the program, or any of those things that you would think obviously would be helpful. And I use it as a diet program. So I weighed, I'm 5 foot. Well, before I started shrinking, I was 5'3¼". I'm not that anymore. But, and I weighed 192 pounds. And I lost 60 pounds, which was great, except that I still hated myself and I hadn't learned anything at all except how to not eat all the time. I didn't weigh and measure. I ate 3 meals a day and I don't know. I didn't want to hear from anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was not teachable. And then I decided 5 years later that I knew what I was doing and I could go off by myself and do it. So I did for 7 years. And after my third pregnancy, I had a I have 3 children. My second pregnancy, I was abstinent. My first is when I was first started program, post my first, when I was weighing 192. Anyway, I came back kicking and screaming. I'm going to stop for 1 second. I will say that as a child, I didn't like to eat until I was 7, which is totally beyond my comprehension. But I was a very thin child. And I didn't really care about food at the time. And then I have a sister that was my baby who died of SIDS when I was 7. And since then, food has been my friend. And I thought. And so I was never really heavy until I had my first child at 33. But I ate and I thought I was really fat. I was maybe 20 pounds overweight, but I thought I was huge. When you're in high school, it's like, and in my 20s, I smoked a lot of pot, got the munchies. So I was eating that way. And then I decided I needed to get off pot because I wanted to have a child. And so I stopped. And I haven't had any since. You know, that's 34 years. He just turned a couple weeks ago. So plus maybe 35 years. So back to where we are now. So anyway, you know, I was sort of gradually gaining, but it was still not all that much, you know. Before I had a child, my highest weight was 150, 155, which is not thin, but I was not obese until after I had my first child, during my first, all my pregnancies, and then after, you know, had my child. So anyway, I came back. Oh, one of my, I had talked one of my friends into going to program because she needed it. And then I ended up going back with her in August of 2002, after 7 years of, as we say, research, and weighing 212. After my child was born, I actually got back up to my pregnancy weight and stayed there for a long time. But I did start to lose some weight. I gave up sugar and, sorry, I'll try to get more organized here. Somehow I'm not. I gave up sugar before anything else because I knew it was not good for me. And I gave the sugar up in 99, November of 99. But I was not ready to come back. So, you know, but I did lose some weight. So anyway, I came back to program and I was super pissed because I was listening to all these people talk and I thought, well, I'm just fat. These people are all crazy. I don't know what their problems are, but I'm not like that. So that's what I thought. You know, when I came back after 5 years in, 7 years of abstinence, I mean, relapse, and then showing up at the door. I didn't talk to anybody. I came with my friend and I went out in the car. As soon as it was over, I told her I'll wait for you outside. I wasn't going to talk to anybody, I wouldn't do anything. And a few weeks later, somebody said, we need somebody to do the key. It was a church. Open, you know, open the meeting in the morning, and then you set up the 60 chairs or so for the meeting. It was a big meeting back in the day, and something made me say, yes, I'll do that. And I thought, this is a perfect job for me because I don't have to talk to anybody because nobody will be there except me. And you know, I can just set the chairs up and then, you know, go sit in the back and do whatever I want to do. So sure enough, somebody immediately volunteered to help me. I was really annoyed. And then, like, what do I need her for? And she was wonderful, mother of six or seven kids, lovely Lillian. I'll never forget her. And we had a blast. And little by little, I thought it took me 4 months to get a sponsor because, again, I thought I could do this. I don't need anybody. I don't know what all this, you know, fear, doubt, and anxiety is about. People keep talking. I don't know what they're talking about, you know. So then I finally realized in December that, you know, I have no idea what a real portion is. I was actually holding a piece of meat going, I don't even know if this is a normal amount or not. I have no clue. So I finally said, and I'd been trying to be abstinent on my own for 4 months, hadn't worked. And so I thought, okay, I'll go ahead and get a sponsor. So I asked somebody to sponsor me. And she said yes. And I picked her because of the qualities I saw in her, which were grace and you know, selflessness and humility. Not anything I was longing at all. It was like those were not my qualities at that time. And about 2 weeks went by, and she came up to me after a meeting and said, did I misunderstand you? Did you want me to sponsor you? I was so embarrassed. I was chicken to call her. So I hadn't called her yet, and I was sort of putting it off. Very good at putting things off when I want to. And I said, yes, I do want you to sponsor me. Thank you. So December 17th, 2002 is my abstinence date. And as we all say, and I used to hate this part of it, being imperfectly abstinent, because, you know, I want to be perfect, but I have been abstinent since then. And I went through a course called A Way of Life. I don't know if any of you guys have done this. It was in the East. It was like a study of the 12 steps, but it was separate from the regular meetings. It wasn't like a registered meeting. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because somebody started talking about being teachable, and I thought that was ludicrous. I was like, what is she talking about being teachable? Of course I'm open. Of course I'm teachable. And I still was not getting, like, not really. But over time, over many years, and I now have an incredibly fabulous sponsor. And I don't know how long I've had her. It's over 10 years, but I'm not sure. I have learned to be more open and more teachable and realize I don't have to know everything. And the program has become much richer for me. And somebody had mentioned that in that particular study I was doing, and I didn't really know what they were talking about, but it did resonate with me. I liked it. Because at the time I was still thinking, I hate this damn program. I hate that I have to be here. And but over time, that's been 20, almost 21 years, God willing. And many changes have happened in my life. I got divorced, and I don't know what I would have done without my sponsor. I mean, it was never going to divorce my kid's father, but it became an untenable situation, and I felt like, no, this is not what I'm going to live with. And I left. And very brutal situation, but I kept my abstinence for me. I mean, it was very painful. And, stay with the program. I used to go to three meetings a week. I would say now I do about two, but at the time, two to three. So, and, I had a sponsor and I was sponsoring, and I just hung in there and got lots of support and cried a lot, which is not easy for me. And things got better. And what else do I want to say? Oh, when my oldest child was mad at me, this was, I got almost 9 years ago that I left the house and my then husband. And my oldest was mad at me for the first 8 years of this, and that has been really awful. But somehow, with lots of prayer and me letting go and just trusting it'll turn out when it turns out or it won't, where I was telling my sponsor, he seems to be thawing, like he's not so frosty and sort of like, hi, well, he's actually being more with me and being more loving. And I'm happy to report on Friday, he and his wife and my other son and my oldest two kids, my grandchildren, are we're going on a hike. They're 5 and 3, so it's not going to be like a hike, but a walk, which they call a hike. And I'm really excited because my son, the oldest, won't even get together with his siblings and me because he says we're not really a family anymore. So I think he's growing up and I'm learning how to like live with not how I want it, which is always a good thing for me to learn because, I always want everything the way I want it. And I 5 years ago met a really wonderful man and got married again. And now we have seven children between us. Thank you, God. They're all grown up. Nothing personal to anybody, but and none of them lives with us. And things were going great. And then my husband had a really bad bicycle accident, traumatic brain injury, about 4 years ago this month, and has since been pretty, incapacitated. He's got some cognitive issues and memory issues. He can walk with a walker or hiking poles. He doesn't leave the house anymore. He's got some Parkinson's, some dementia. And we're talking about an attitude of gratitude, and I know it's pre-Thanksgiving, and I'm really fortunate, and I have had to work very hard to remember that I have lots of blessings in my life. It wasn't what I was hoping at this. He's 10 years older than I am. I'm about to turn 67. But I thought I had a few more years till I would be his caregiver, but that's, was not what God had in mind, apparently. And I'm grateful that he's still here. I thought he would die sooner. It was pretty bad. He had to have surgery, drain the blood. He had a hematoma. And frequently we're happy together, not all the time. It's very challenging. But a lot of that is me, and I can see that, and I get to keep looking at it. It's not, obviously the only person I can change is me. So, and recently, I was up against the wall, just feeling like I can't do this another day. I want to get him out of here. I don't want to do this. And all of a sudden I realized I had this the same exact feeling, the whole feeling of feeling trapped, caught, like I can't get out and I want out. Three times. This is my third marriage. And I obviously the common denominator is me. And that was about 3 months ago. And since then, it's allowed me to surrender further and just keep going, And I don't know how much time I have. Look, where's Stacy? There she is. Can you tell me?
About four minutes, and I would have given you the
Oh,
reminder.
got you. Perfect. Okay, thank you. So, I'm grateful that he's in my life. I'm grateful he has some really wonderful children. And that's great. The one I like the least lives in Massachusetts, so I'm grateful for that. The one that's, I guess, the most like me, another addict, and I just, he irritates me. So it's like, I know I get to grow about that. I'm just saying, he's the one that's not in Washington. So I want to just say what it is that I do in my program on a daily basis before I finish. And as I said, I go to two meetings a week. I like to lead, so I do when I can, when I'm asked, when they ask, do we need a leader? I, in my past, I've been, on the inner group here in South Sound quite a, for a few years, but I've backed off on that. I sponsor, and I have a wonderful, great sponsor who luckily is patient with me and is incredibly generous. She's done so many wonderful things for me and with me and to me. No, she's been great. So I'm very grateful for her. So we talk about once a week, unless I need to talk more often. And when I get up in the morning, I get on my knees and I say the Serenity Prayer and the Third Step Prayer, and I ask God to help me stay abstinent today. And when I eat breakfast, I have a little, 3 by 5, I guess, notebook, spiral notebook. I write down my food, and my sponsor already knows my food plan, and it's really basically stays the same. I shift vegetables and starches and stuff like that, but most of my food, my breakfast and lunch are the same every day. And a lot of people go, doesn't that bore you? Don't you want something more interesting? And for me, interesting means, oh, I get to keep, go out on the limb and do whatever I want. It's like, no. This works for me. I designed a food plan, a food I like, food that's nourishing, food that works for me. And I keep it pretty much that way as much as I can because I feel safer that way. Let's see. What do I want to say? And when I go to bed at night, I thank God for how my day was. Even if some of it, sometimes I can even say thank you for that lesson. I can't say I say that every day, but sometimes it's like, okay, yes, I needed to learn that, or I needed to see that today. I'm very grateful for my marriage. I live in a home where I feel really safe, which wasn't the case in my second marriage. Emotionally, at all. And, that is means so much to me. And, I'm grateful my three children are all talking to me now. You said they'd trade off who was mad at me. It was sort of my sponsors heard all about this. So I just realized, hey, there's something to be grateful for. Nobody's mad at me at the moment. I'm just going to knock on wood here. And, I have two great, adorable, of course, grandchildren in Redmond. Somebody's here from Redmond. And I'm retired now, And I'm grateful for that. I love being retired. I write. I'd like to say I wrote more than I do, or write more than I do. I probably write about, I'm trying to write weekly. So that, and I love writing. One thing I've noticed about myself, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but probably, but some of the things I love the most, I avoid the most. It's like I'm stingy with myself. Once I sit down to write, I'm like, oh, I love writing. Why don't I do this more? But anyway, I do find it incredibly valuable. I mean, all the tools
Five
are,
more minutes.
thank you. And I, oh, and in the morning, I also read the readers, for today and the other one, Voices of Recovery. And I read, I love this, the AA, it's a daily reader. I think it's called Daily Affirmations. I love it. So those things I read at, after I eat my breakfast. And I, I call most of my friends are in OA, but not everybody. So I do talk to other people. I see them, so I do use the telephone. And I've learned a lot about anonymity because I always want to be important and special and unique and noticed. Does everybody notice me? Am I doing the best job speaking tonight? Blah, blah, blah. Look at me. And I'm learning little by little that, that's really not useful. It doesn't help me in any way. And really, one of the things I'm most grateful for is my life is so much more manageable than it used to be. Period. I, this year, for the first time ever, I have all the things pre-cooked that I could. Obviously, I'm going to do the main course tomorrow and its attendant parts. But everything else, desserts and side dishes that I'm making, they're already done. Period. And that's never happened. So usually I'm like killing myself the day of, racing to get things in to chill in the fridge and go here and go there. It's like, no, I'm slowing my life down because it makes me saner. And I love to have my sanity. I can't say I have my serenity all the time. I do have it in times, especially when I think to go after it, like, oh, I'll stop and read a book if I'm really having a hard time. Sometimes I'll look up in the back of this book and go, oh, whatever. Step one. And I'll read the step one listings. Or, being outside for me is really important. So I'll answer later. Sorry, I can't talk and answer at the same time. Somebody's chatting with me. Anyway, I feel like I'm forgetting something, but I love being in this program, and for years now I've loved the program. I finally realized that I'm just like everybody else, and identify, don't compare is something I need to keep remembering, And I'm just grateful that I have the opportunity to be with you guys, to be with other people. I'm actually liking Zoom, although I go to some in-person meetings too, because I get to see people from all over the world. It's fun. That I like. I can go to any city in the world. Not that I go all over the place, but I can go to OA meetings anywhere. And some of the ones I go to now are not, in Olympia, Washington. And I have, like, I feel like the program gives me my structure. I know what I'm going to eat. Then I get, as people used to say, and I thought it was stupid, but it's true, I get to show up for life. Everything isn't about how fast can I eat again. How many of these can I have before somebody will notice that I'm eating half this bag or box or whatever? Oh, my stomach hurts. I ate too much. I'm able to have my feelings more. That's a work in progress. I have a really good relationship with my higher power. Although I've certainly struggled with it, and I lost my mother about a year and a half ago, and that has been really, of course, very difficult. We were very close. And, when I go places like visit people, we go to restaurants, I can eat it. My family is trained. We don't go have pizza. We don't go to have spaghetti. We don't go to get ice cream together. We just, I mean, I'll go with them if they want to get a dessert. I don't care, but I'm not getting in it. But or I eat, bring my food, if I need to when I go places. Because usually potlucks, like at work or those kind of situations, are pizza or something. It's like, well, I can't eat that. So I bring my food. And I just don't care anymore. I tell everybody I'm in OA. Anybody wants to know. I've lost 75 pounds. Well, 70 now. I'm up a little. But, people can't recognize me in my fat picture, and that's not just the outside, it's the inside. Like, I'm more loving to myself, I'm more loving to my children, more loving to my husband. And I know more when I'm off track to stop, take stock, and start over. Take a time out, write, call somebody, apologize, and then go. Not just run. Amok over the whole universe. So, I would like to end with I'm trying to pick this one's shorter. No, this is the one I want. It's from the Voices of Recovery. It's from yesterday's November 21st. What we needed now was a way of being abstinent over the long haul and living sanely through good times and bad. That's from the OA 12 and 12. When I arrived at the doors of OA, food was my master. In order to be released from its grip, I committed my food to a sponsor daily and abstained from specific foods, eating behaviors, situations, and people who were known triggers. I also attended numerous meetings. Although necessary, these actions put me at the opposite end of the food obsession. If abstinence is to bring about a sane and useful way of life, I must have a plan that I can live with forever. The plan must be flexible when the situation warrants, allowing me to commit my food or not, to go places I had avoided, and to eat some foods I had relinquished. Once abstinence has become a habit, these things are all possible. If I find myself on unsteady ground, I must once again take the actions that worked in the beginning. Today, by God's grace, I have balance in my life and live in peaceful coexistence with food. And for me, hearing this is just like a miracle. That doesn't mean it's a miracle. There was something else I wanted to comment about, but oh, and just learning how to be flexible. That's one of my main lessons in this life. So thank you all.